It was my intention to continue reflecting upon the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, reflecting on that passage where he taught us that unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we can have no life in us. But then I read the second reading for today's Mass, and I realized that that reading only comes up once every 3 years. And I thought I couldn't really pass over the opportunity to speak about that reading. Now, before I do that, I want to make one point that I focused on last week and which comes out really strong in the Gospel today. And that is that Jesus was ready to let all of his apostles leave him rather than to soften his teaching about we must eat his body, we must drink his blood. That tells us how important that doctrine was for Jesus, that he was willing to give up everything that he had worked for, rather than to change that very basic teaching of his, that he wants to become for us food for our journey to the kingdom of heaven. Now, the second reading today comes from the fifth chapter of the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. It's a greatly misunderstood passage. I'd like to begin by telling a little humorous event about the passage. This is a number of years ago in another parish. There was an elderly lady, probably in her late 80s, maybe even 90, who was still serving as a lector, a very good lector. But sometimes you were a little uncomfortable with whether she was going to make it from the pew to the pulpit. But this one Sunday, she was reading this passage, or was meant to read this passage. She skipped the first half. And I had that clear sense that there was no way she was going to read that wives must be subordinate to their husbands. What I'm going to say this morning follows very heavily a teaching given by Father John Ricardo. He's a priest of the Archdiocese of Detroit. Father Ricardo wrote his doctoral thesis on this passage from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he points out clearly that the verses we have today are really the beginning of what is called household instructions. In other words, Paul is instructing people of his time how they are to live their daily lives, their family lives, as members of the body of Christ. And so he starts the whole thing by saying, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. But then he goes on to talk about how husband and wife are to treat each other. He talks about how children are to relate to their parents. He talks about how slaves are to relate to their masters. But all of that comes under that heading of be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul was trying very much in a culture that did not respect the dignity of women or of children or of slaves to teach that in Christ Jesus, we all have equal dignity. We all have equal status in the eyes of God. And so he teaches us how we must try to relate to one another as members of the body of Christ. Father Ricardo goes on to say that this translation we have to be subordinate to one another is not really the best of translations. He feels it would be far more accurate to convey the meaning of St. Paul to say, as someone of equal dignity, wives should place themselves under the loving care of their husband. You know, it's extremely rare, Father Ricardo points out, in the literature of that time, for wise even to be acknowledged. But Paul breaks with that cultural custom, and he says that wives must be place themselves under the loving care of their husband. But then he goes on to point out that the husband is head of his wife, as Christ is head of the church. Now think about that for a moment. We might want to say, well, he's saying, well, husbands have the right to dominate and control. But put that in the relationship to as Christ was head of his church. How did Christ become head of the church? His death on the cross. He gave himself totally. And Paul is teaching that that's what husbands must do to their wives. They must give themselves totally in love to their wives. They're not to dominate them. They're not to control them. They're to be self-sacrificing, to give of themselves. And of course, the other is true also. The wife must give of herself in love for her husband. They must be subordinate one to another. They must place themselves under each other's loving care. But again, always modeled on what Christ did on the cross. He poured himself out. He gave himself. As spouses, you are to love each other in the image of the way God loves us. And your love is to become a visible image of God's love. When your partner can feel so loved by you, so cared for, how you are willing to sacrifice for him or her, that is meant to remind you of the love that God has for you and the love that he has poured out upon you through Jesus Christ. You are called to be witnesses to one another of that great love, but then also witnesses to the world around you, witnesses to your children, witnesses to the people that see you, who relate to you. Can your love for each other become a mirror, an image of God's love? That is the calling you receive through the sacrament of matrimony. Could you imagine, and this is a thought of Father Ricardo, could you imagine what would happen if in our culture, every morning, every husband woke up and saying, what more can I do to pour myself out for my wife? And if every wife woke up every morning and says, what more could I do to pour myself out in love for my husband? The competition that we often see in marriage relationships would go away. It would no longer be, I'm doing more than you are. You're not carrying your load. But instead, each of them would be competing with each other to love the most, to give the most. That is what we're called to, that outpouring love in the marriage relationship. This is vitally important. You know, the evil one, the devil, wants nothing more than to destroy our marriages, so that he can destroy our families. Because when husband and wife aren't remodeling God's love to each other, then we begin to doubt that God loves. And when children don't see that love in the family relationship, they begin to doubt that that kind of love is possible. And when they begin to see competition, and when they begin to see bitterness and anger and jealousies and resentments, they're going to grow up with that, and they'll carry that into their adult lives. And that's what the devil wants. He wants a society filled with anger and hatred and suspicion and jealousy and resentment. Our living a Christian marriage is so important for our children, for the world in which we live. Now, you may want to say to yourself, well, that's all very nice, but I could never love that way. And you're right. By yourself, you can't love that way. None of us can love that way. By myself, I cannot love as a priest is called to love. I need the grace of the sacrament of holy orders. You as couples need the grace of the sacrament of matrimony. That's why we just don't go to the judge to get married. We want the grace of Christ in that sacrament so that we have the power to love one another. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to empower you through the grace of the sacrament of matrimony to be loving and caring and self-giving to one another. To pour yourselves out in loving sacrifice one for another. But it's not just the sacrament of matrimony that you have. You also have the sacrament of the Eucharist. To get that frequent gift of grace. To be empowered by the very love of Christ. And then you have the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. When you know that you have failed to be the loving person you're called to be, where you can come and seek God's forgiveness to be strengthened by the grace of that sacrament. And then finally, you have your prayer together as a couple. You know, so often I think husbands and wives pray, but one prays in that corner, and the other one prays in the other corner, and they're not together in prayer. I would encourage you, find ways to pray together. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be a simple Our Father, a Hail Mary, or it might be the Rosary, or it might be saying morning prayer together. And as you grow more comfortable, it might be something more. Like talking about a scripture passage and how that's touched your heart, then praying over it. But God wants you to have good, loving marriages. Marriages in which you pour yourselves out one for another. And He wants to give you His grace through the sacraments, through prayer, to be those loving spouses, to love each other as Christ has loved you.